Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davinson Live from the WTVQ studios in Warwick, New York. If you are hearing my voice, you are listening live on 93.5 FM, 1110 AM. WTBQ.com or the replay on the brand new Davin's Den Facebook page. We invite you to go to the page and like us. We really want to be liked. If you'd like to join in on the controlled chaos, you can call us at 845-651-1110 or instant message us on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined by the perpetually stuck in traffic, Joe Curry.
That's correct.
Of course, you're in a good mood as always.
I'm always in a good mood.
You're a pleasant person.
I'm always pleasant.
We got Rich working the first 5 minutes of the show, and then he's going to probably skedaddle. Then we'll probably...
He's got one foot out the door.
He's like, if he could run this show from the car, he'd already be driving down King's Highway right now. And then Frank will sneak in there. What Rich has to do for preparations for that is he has to get Frank on the right website pages, because they have different website pages. So we got a good show tonight. Later on, we're going to be having... Now, I know I always say later on, and we never get to later on, but tonight we actually have things planned, so I'll get to later on. Mm. We're going to have Saad Sirwana, a physicist and Pakistan's number one comic, and a native of Pakistan. He's going to be telling us how Pakistanis feel about the relationship between the United States and Pakistan. I'm sure he has a different perspective. In a few minutes, we're going to have Jeff Sisti from Goldberg's Famous Bagels come in, telling us all about bagels and all the good things going on at Goldberg's. But I do have to give kudos to you, Joe. You were very funny last night.
Oh, yes. Had a good set. We had a good time. Yes.
Joe was working for Sidesplitting Productions at Andiamo, and he was on fire.
Yeah, sure.
Laughs, applause. I didn't recognize you up there.
When's the next show? That's a very, very good place. If you're in the air, thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you. Congratulations. Yes. Yeah, that was a great show. And if you... When's the next show you're planning on doing?
October 12th.
October 12th. Make plans to go there. If you're in that area, it's great food and it's a great show and you'll have a great night out.
Wow, a plug. I wasn't expecting that. I was just going to compliment you. People say I'm so mean to you. I was going to try to be nice to you.
Well, you are mean to me.
I'm very nice to you. It hurts to be mean to you. It hurts to be nice to you.
I know.
So, Joe, we got the 4th of July coming up. Big plans?
Sure.
What are you doing?
I'm hanging around the compound, Anthony's house. Anthony, 4th of July party.
Anthony from Opie and Anthony?
Yes, I go
in. It could be Casey Anthony. It's a whole different compound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's going to be in a compound, all right. Boy, yeah, so it's, I'll be drinking heavily. I'll be bringing the family-sized bottle of Jack Daniels with me.
Are you bringing your wife?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know. Last time you were hanging out with broads in a hot tub.
No, yeah, no.
Joanne didn't come.
No, she leaves by then. I send her
she over. Leaves by then?
But it's weird. I have an old friend, these two girls I knew. One of them I kind of dated. And they're like Facebook friends with my wife, and it's just weird.
That's not good.
It's just weird.
That's not good.
You know?
You don't need status updates coming from ex-flames going to your wife. You don't need that at all.
No, but they're like pals now.
Do they live near each other?
No, they're in California.
Nah, it could still hurt you. It's the same country.
No, I know.
You do have a 3-hour time zone.
I know.
Do you know your wife's password so you can sneak in there and like delete stuff that you don't want her to see?
Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble.
I'm always
one day I'm just going to be waiting here and it's not going to be traffic. That's the reason you didn't make it.
Yeah, I'll be buried under some shrub somewhere.
Well, at least you got fun stuff though planned. I'm excited for
that. What are you doing?
I'm working.
You're working? Where are you working?
Working up in Foxwoods.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, I'm working.
You're out in a field, like, sowing seeds or something like that. You're in a casino.
I'm a comedian. When was the last time I was out in the field?
Oh, let's not get crazy.
I attempt to tell jokes.
Okay, that's better.
They never put me in a field before the show, after the show sometimes.
Yes. Yeah,
so. To scare away the crows.
So far, you bring the family?
I'm bringing them, so it's a vacation for them.
That's good.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not like usually when I go away with my daughter, I get like a suite, so we have like our own room and everything. Get sleep. Nah, I got double beds. It's going to be a nightmare. I mean, I'm glad they're coming, and we'll probably listen to the replay of this show on the way home, so my wife's going to hear me describe it as a nightmare. But, it's a vacation for them.
Yeah.
It's work for me, like it always is. They wanted me to perform at a minor league baseball game, do comedy at a minor league baseball game.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my reaction. I said, no, have the other guy do it.
You got out of it, right?
Yeah, I did.
That would be a disaster.
Yeah, but listen, those people are probably going to be upset enough as it is if the team loses.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'll be standing in right field airmailing jokes to a 7-year-old. No, that's not a good situation for
not
me.
Not a good thing.
It would have been good to see me on the scoreboard. That would have been nice.
But you know what? You know what's fun, though? Like the old 4th of July parties. parades with Major League fireworks.
Did you go to those? Like the towns do.
Absolutely.
I mean, now they've had to cut back some because the budget's all
thin. I don't mean the town. I mean the ones you'd have yourself.
Did you do that? Did you
of
get
course.
Your...
Of course. You go to the lunch truck guy. He's got, like, you know, hoagies and potato salad and M80s and stuff
Hoagies and potato salad and M80s?
You didn't notice...
What is this, a Mexican lunch truck? They're just smuggling everything in?
A lot of lunch truck guys, they have a list. And it's like, yeah, I'll take a ham and egg on rye. I'll take this orange juice. What do you got? You got the list? Yeah, I got the list. I got M80s, sparklers, this thing. You buy all this
I've never heard of anybody buying Roman candles from a lunch truck.
Oh, yeah. And then you have the party, and then the cops show up. And while the cop is walking through a maze of smoke, there's a tree on fire, and one guy with no arms left. You're like, hey, there are fireworks here? No, officer. What gave you that idea?
So were you actually participated in
this? We used to. We took one time, we called it the liquid wrench bomb.
The what?
The liquid wrench bomb.
Okay.
We took 48 M80s and loaded it into a liquid wrench can.
Mm-hmm.
And then we blew it off in a culvert. We were so drunk, we went up to the culvert, we forgot the thing. We had to stagger back and get it. We set the thing off. It set off every car alarm in a 5-mile radius, ruined my buddy's sister's confirmation cake. It flattened it.
Oh, my goodness.
We used to, we were nuts.
I'll tell you what, Joe, if this radio doesn't work out, I hear the Taliban's recruiting. They can use your type of expertise.
No.
See, I have never, ever lit a firework. I haven't even held a sparkler.
Faggot.
Hey, now!
Oh, come on.
Did we have to dump that, or is it okay because Joe's going to marry somebody soon? Yeah.
You never...
I wasn't allowed. I come from a Jewish upbringing, only child. My mother wasn't letting me go near that. I was lucky if I could be outside while the neighbors were lighting stuff off. I never have lit a firework.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know what you're missing.
Well, listen, none of my cakes got flattened, so I had that going for me.
Sit on ground, light match, get away. It's great.
All right, we're not lighting fire here to feed the village over here.
No, it's great. You know, you had, like, that concussion power and you don't know what you're missing.
No, I never did anything like that.
We're going to have to drive to Pennsylvania. We'll have to pick you some stuff up.
Sure, we do that enough.
Yeah.
You know what? Now that you said that, I'm going to get a phone call from my mother because she listens to the show. She does. And she's going to go, you know, I like Joe, but I don't want you going to Pennsylvania to get fireworks. You have 10 fingers, and I don't want you to have any less than that. It's not funny. God forbid your daughter listens to this show. She's going to think it's okay to light fireworks. No, please don't do that. And then I'm going to get a call. And by the way, I thought this show was very funny, but I don't appreciate you making fun of me. I don't like when you do it. You're setting me up for a long phone call before Fox.
Well, I'm going to get phone calls. Hey, man, can you pick me up some Roman candles? The lunch truck guy got busted last week.
They do get busted. You can't.
Yeah, of course.
You can't sell soda and, like, M80s out of the same thing. You have to go into, like, a big store in the side of the road where it says fireworks here. Mm. You can't get it from the lunch. How safe can that be?
Well, you know, his heroes are good.
Really?
Sure.
Tastes a little bit like, powder. But
a little powder, yeah, a little gunpowdery taste.
The closest I came to fireworks is my buddy Elias. I've talked about him before on the show. Is the next day... After everybody lit the fireworks, me and Elias would go around, and he would, like, look for the old fireworks, like, that were laid in half.
Right.
And with, like, a little bit of powder left, and light them, and they'd give out a little spark, and they were called genies. You ever hear of genies?
Yeah.
No, I dream of genie, stupid.
Okay, what do we
got? Oh, I called you stupid. Now my wife's going to yell at me.
How long have we been on? 5 minutes? You said you could go 10 without calling me stupid.
You know what? It was an uncalled for stupid. Usually when I call you stupid, there's a reason. There was no reason for that.
That's right. It was a nightmare.
Listen, I apologize to all the people that are big fans of Joe Curry for me.
All four of them.
Well, I don't think there's that many. There'd be more, but all your fans are missing fingers at this point. Because they were lighting them on the lunch truck. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Does it like? What do you think of when you think of the 4th?
I think of pretty much, especially when you watch like a fireworks display,
you kind of
celebrate that, you know, our independence, when we finally said we want to break away from England, and we made up, you know, the Constitution and stuff like that, and we decided to go and try to be a country.
I think that's a very nice sentiment.
Yeah.
I think that's a very touching sentiment. I understand what you're saying with that. To me, it means, oh, thank God summer's here.
Oh.
It just means summer.
Well,
we're going to go barbecue and swimming.
I love barbecuing.
Sure, I can tell.
I love I take the barbecue, and what I do is I put a whole bunch of lighter fluid on it.
And what are you, a pyro?
Yeah, and then what I do is I flick a match, and then I play Crazy Train by Ozzy. And the fire's going. It's great. It rules. Sure, yeah.
Your cool. wife must be very scared She's living in that house with you. I hope Joe doesn't light our house on. I don't want to be homeless.
You know what, though? I do it by the propane tanks that I have. So
poor Joanne has to call her friends and family and your ex-girlfriend and say, yes, now we're living at the radio station. Ah, I see our guest has walked in.
Ah.
Jeff Sisti from Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Welcome good. To the show. Jeff Thank is our you. Newest sponsor.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Your sponsorship dollars mean that when Joe lights his house on fire, mm-hmm. he'll have a place to live.
I'll have a place to live.
Because nice. Lord knows I'm not taking him at my house.
Oh, I'm going to go to your house. I like the fishes.
I hear a truck in my headphones. Is that from outside? Or do I, wow, our station has such paper-thin walls that I now hear trucks from outside. I've never
Wait
heard
till them. The train comes by.
Well, sure, they usually tie into the tracks. But anyway, back to Goldberg's. There's a segue.
Meanwhile, back to Goldberg's.
Frank is staggering in.
Uh-oh, they're making the switch.
Oh, there's the switch.
You do it.
We went to the bullpen. All right. We got a phone call?
Who's that?
Well, who? Hello, caller?
Hello, caller?
Frank, really? You own the station and you can't work the board. Oh, my goodness.
But thank God this isn't suicide prevention.
Frank, can we get somebody who's a little less invested in the station to work the board so maybe we can get a phone call? They're both staring at it. Holy crap. One guy works here all day, the other guy owns the station, and neither one knows what they're doing. Frank, when we have the guest call in later, are you going to be able to handle this? He's from Pakistan, or should I fly? Don't give me crickets, Frank. Don't give me crickets. Oh, good Lord. All right, we're going to move on.
Alexander Graham Bell in a booth. All right.
Well, you know what, Jeff? If you agree to sponsor us for another 6 months, we're going to be able to get a board op that can handle the phones.
True. Please. Please.
So, actually, I did a little research on our... I have a phone call. Joe,
I got a phone call?
We have... Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
It's my mother. She's pissed.
Oh, Ten Hut.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
First time calling. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I hope you didn't call just to do this. I hope you had a reason.
I do have a reason. I'm calling to say that fireworks are very dangerous.
Really? Really? A public service announcement on my show? Hey, Mom! Sponsor some time and you can get your own 30-second public service announcement. Really, Mom? I told you she would not like what you were doing, Joe. I know my mom. I love her, but she was not going to be pleased.
Hello?
Yes, you're still here, Mom. Holy crap. Yes, you're still here. All right, we know. Fireworks are dangerous. Anything else, Mom? Stop listening to the radio, Mom. You can't listen to the radio in the background. Jeff, I apologize. We'll get to bagels shortly. Hello, Mom?
Yes?
Turn off the radio.
Don't yell at your mother. Be nice.
I'll yell
it's
at you
the
next.
Computer.
Now, yeah, don't listen to the computer. You got to talk to me. You're hearing on a delay.
Okay. As I said, fireworks are very dangerous. Okay. I'm very happy that you have 10 fingers.
Me too. Me too.
I don't want anything to happen to you or anybody else.
Okay, Mom.
So please don't listen to your friend.
No, nobody listens to Joe.
I'm a bad man.
Joe's
I'll
a
stop.
Terrible human being.
I'm horrible.
All right, Mom. Thank you. I'd like to schmooze with you and talk, but I have a guest in here right now.
I understand.
Right.
So enjoy your show.
And it's a bagel place, so we have to support it.
Please listen to what I'm saying.
Yes.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Mom.
Have a nice holiday.
Ay, ay, ay. And don't light forest fires. All right, let's move
Devin's on. Devin's mom, everybody.
And my mom. You know, Frank, really, that's the call you got to put through?
Here we go.
All right, back to Jeff. So, Jeff, I did a little research on you. And I'm reading your biography. It said that you dropped out of high school, and now I'm looking at you, and you're a successful businessman. How does a guy make that transition in this environment from high school dropout to successful businessman? How does somebody do that?
Hours, a lot of hours, a lot of dedication. I basically had a choice. I was either going to go the way of a lot of friends, mm-hmm. went jail. You know, a lot of guys ended up in jail. A lot of guys ended up dead. I come from a tough part of the Bronx, and mm-hmm. Really wasn't a lot of opportunities. I did start working at a young age. I got some of the old timers got a hold of me.
What was that moment where you just said, you know what, I got to change where I'm going? Because a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of young people don't have that moment. What was that moment like for you?
When I found out my wife was pregnant.
Oh, well, that is an eye-opening moment right there.
Yeah, that was it.
That's a game changer.
How old were you, if I may ask?
21, 22.
So you're still a young man at this point. You still have your hell-raising years. Well, sure. Not now. Now you're old. Sure. But I'm talking about... No, but 21, so your wife gets pregnant. Did she have to say something to you? Or?
By this time, I was still kind of fooling around. Mm-hmm. And it was more like what she didn't say, the look, mm-hmm. you know, the feeling that it's time to make a change.
But still, all right, so now you have the right mindset to make the change. But, I mean, how do you get the tools? Because I've been to your place. It's a great place. It's successful. Easy for me to say. You know, it's always busy. You don't have the business degree.
No.
How do you do it?
I work for a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. I learned something from everybody I work from. I took something away from everything.
So you were a sponge.
Absolutely.
So what advice would you give a young person if they're in a similar situation?
Just... pay attention, mm-hmm. keep your mouth closed, listen to what people tell you to do, and always do a little more. Always look for something else to do.
I think that's a great message. I think it's something, unfortunately, a lot of people have a hard time doing, but it's a great message.
It's a good work ethic, you know, that these the guys showed, you know, they had old school guys. And not a lot of, you know, I mean, a lot of us learned to work. I was in the fence business for years. I had the old school guy learn to go. You think kids nowadays have that work ethic? I don't think they do anymore.
Absolutely not.
They don't have, I mean, you know, you work, you don't stop till you come home.
It's our fault. We spoil them.
Yep.
We spoil them. Yep. And we want the best for them, so we give, and they don't appreciate it. Although I do have my 19-year-old with me. And
you got a 19-year-old?
He'll be 19, August, yeah. And
wow.
He's tuned up pretty good.
So you don't look that old. I didn't know you had a 19-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
So now is he going to go into the family business? Unfortunately, it looks that way. That's what happens. You don't pay attention, you start making bagels.
That's it.
Now, like I said, I've been to your place several times. What I love about your place, and I think you're screwing yourself on this, but it works out well for me and customers, is I got the bagel, and we ate it, and I got the cream cheese and lox spread and everything. And it gives you this mound of cream cheese. It's just like a huge amount of cream cheese. I'm a pig, but I can't eat it all at once. So what I do is I scoop up a whole bunch of the cream cheese. Still got a good schmear. I scoop up a whole bunch of the cream cheese. They give me a little to-go fig of the cream cheese. Now I got enough for another half dozen bagels.
So that's good.
It is good. I think he's a little smarter than me, because now I got to buy six more bagels. That's the rub. That's where you get us, Jeff.
Never leave hungry.
No, you certainly don't. So now it's a bagel place, it's a deli place. It says kosher style.
Kosher style.
Well, for those that don't know the difference, what's the difference between kosher style and kosher?
Okay, kosher would, you have to have a rabbi mm-hmm. in the store all the time. He has to monitor everything. You can't have meat and cheese. There's a lot of different rules.
Okay.
Well, hold on. A rabbi is actually in the store? Hold it. What's going on here?
For sure. For a Glock kosher store, rabbi's there all the time. For a kosher store, he comes and supervises, makes sure everything is.
Now, are there special rabbis that do that, or do you have, like, you know,
special ops?
It's a job. They have certain guys.
I could have been a moil, but now I'm looking at the brisket.
Well, somebody's got to run the synagogue. They can't.
Nah, now we specialize.
Okay. They specialize.
Okay.
Have you ever thought about, you know what, maybe I just want to take the plunge? Have you thought, because you're very successful there, have you thought maybe I should open up a kosher bagel or a kosher deli? Because if you're in a place with a Jewish community, they will support the hell out of you.
Yes. The only thing, kosher's a little tough because you limit your customer base. I couldn't have bacon, egg, and cheese.
No.
I couldn't have the cream cheeses and the meats.
You'd have to open up two separate places.
Right.
Right.
Very tough to do, and you do have to be in certain areas.
Right. I don't know if it would work up here in Chester where your store is, but you go to like a Muncie or something
sure.
like that.
Sure.
You'd be counting the Benjamins.
It's tough. It's tough.
And serving them, too.
And serving them. That's it.
That was very funny. Joe, look at that. He's quick. He is. I'll tell you what. 2 weeks in a row, Joe has been funny. Stop snapping. Relax. I'll have my mother call back and yell at you some
more. No, man.
Are all your bagels made fresh on premises?
Everything's made right in the store. My recipe is about 80, 85 years old. Traditional water bagels.
What's the difference between, I know you stress water bagels. Mm. What's the difference between like a water bagel and a regular bagel for the uninitiated?
What a water bagel is, the bagel gets boiled before it goes into the oven. What that does is it gives it a nice crisp outside and keeps the inside nice.
So you get the dough, You make it in the proper bagel form.
Correct.
And then you boil it.
Well, it's got to be proofed. You got to get it all prepared. But
it sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. That's why we start 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's what time you arrive, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Those bagel stores, those guys are in there like at 3 in the morning.
That's how you make a marriage work, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure the husband has to be at work at 3 a.m.
That's it. Sleeping by 8.
And I see it like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're still going strong. You still have all the energy. Still personally taking care of all your customers and everything.
I have no choice. That's what I do.
Well, until your son joins, then he can do it, and you can get some sleep.
But when I leave, I'm dead. That's it. Day's over. Finished.
Does a water bagel taste different than a non-water bagel?
It does. What the difference is the baking process. Another bagel will be made in a rack oven. What that does is it steams and cooks the bagel all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Makes them not as good.
A little mushy?
A little mushy. It's not traditional.
So the bagel I get out of the frozen section at ShopRite.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
I knew it didn't taste the same.
Not the same.
I was going to say, because you can't get it. How come you can't get a good bagel out of New York?
Oh, it stinks. We travel so much.
We travel the road so much.
Oh, and they all these continental breakfasts, they have bagels. It's not the real thing.
No, it's the recipe. It's the recipe. The water makes some difference, but there's filters and stuff these days. It's the recipe.
Frozen.
Got to have a good recipe.
Oh, it's so terrible. You're at the at the Motel 6 or whatever rat hole was staying at. And you see bagel, you know, I could go for bagel and cream cheese. Mm. And then you try it, you go, you know what? I'm just going to have a brown banana. Yeah. It's just terrible. That's why I appreciate having your store up here, because I can get some real bagels.
I appreciate all the support I get.
Now you're in at 3 a.m. If somebody wants to get the bagels piping hot, what's the best time for somebody to be in your store?
Doors open 5 o'clock. 5 in the morning, we're open, ready to
Every day you're making fresh bagels?
Every day. That 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
He's got a lot of variety, too.
I do.
So now, you said you make everything fresh in your store.
Yes.
What's the most innovative cream cheese or spread on the menu?
Innovative. Oh, I have about 13, 14. There's bacon tomatoes. There's lox spreads. There's blueberry and strawberry and scallion and vegetable. And it goes on.
Getting
hungry. Something for everybody.
I got to admit, you kind of let us down here. We were hoping for a little nosh and a schmear. There's no nosh and schmear.
At this time, it's corned beef and pastrami.
Nobody's complaining.
Okay.
Just silly. All right. Now, if you've got one item, you're in a competition that represents Goldberg's the best.
Mm.
Which item is it on the menu? Something that somebody has to have to know what you're about.
Gotta have my pastrami.
The pastrami?
Gotta have the pastrami.
Hands down. Is that served hot on
rye?
You
gotta have everything but the pastrami. You'll
little
never
brown
be
mustard?
Oh, spicy mustard, absolutely.
Pickle on the side?
Fresh rye bread, pickle.
Oh, you're breaking my
side
heart.
Of
All right, that sounded too much like an orgasm.
It's not. No, it's just just sounds so good.
And it's good for your heart. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, great for the skin, good for the heart, makes you run faster. I heard Mark McGuire hit all those home runs on Goldberg's pastrami.
Actually, Joe Torre was a customer of mine in my store in Yonkers for years and years.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yep. Torre was
Now, there. What was his favorite? What did we have?
Cinnamon raisin and pumpernickel.
And what did he get on it? A little cream cheese?
Plain.
Really?
What did you
We were just talking about bagels the other day with my dad, and he said, you know what, that's how you know a good bagel, you don't have to put anything on it.
That's right.
That's what he said, a good bagel, you just eat it hot, plain, the way it is.
Yep.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah,
nice.
So am I.
All right. So now you have the Italian heritage. Now I know you're Italian. When you were coming up through the bagel ranks, as they were, you were coming up through old Italian guys, old Jewish guys.
Actually, a combination. There was one Italian, one Jewish guy that I went to work for on 77th and 2nd Avenue. I was 16 and a half, 17 years old, and it was a tremendously busy store, and I knew I wanted to do it from that time.
So now, if you wanted to merge your two influences, what would it be? Because I got an idea.
Okay.
Well, no, I want. Do you
want? Well, let's hear your idea first.
I think you're going to like this.
Okay.
This shows a lot of thought, creativity, never been heard before, never been said before. Gefilte fish cannoli.
Oh, nice.
I think that would be lovely.
Will you try the first one?
If you make it, I'll try it.
I can make it.
I can be polite. I wouldn't try that at gunpoint.
I'll light an M80 in your pants, mister. You will try a gefilte fish cannoli.
I'd rather have the M80 in the pants. Gefilte fish and cannoli?
Yeah, I think I would, too.
Well, come on. You got the traditional Jewish appetizer, the traditional Italian dessert. No good? All right, what's your idea, silly? I didn't call you stupid that time.
I know. You're trying. You're like, let's see. Matzah with mozzarella.
Matza mozzarella.
Matza mozzarella.
I like
sauce
that.
Sauce and stuff like that.
Would that be water matza?
I guess.
Okay.
Good. I can handle them. I'm Italian. I can handle them.
No
Italian
yeast, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's it.
Somebody's very hungry. Okay, hello, caller.
Hello, Davin. This is Saad calling.
Saad, good. Frank, put him on. Hello, Saad. We're going to put you on the second half. Just hang on the line for a little bit, all right?
Okay.
Good.
Matza mozzarella.
Yes.
That would be the name of the store. That's what you should call it, matza mozzarella.
I like that. You should serve matza apple juice. No. All right, what makes an average New Yorker happy? A Goldberg's bagel with lox and cream cheese or a lap dance from Megan Fox?
I think the bagel and cream cheese and then the lap
dance
from
Megan
Fox.
You can't have both.
You said New Yorkers. We want both.
You want it all.
Absolutely.
I like that. All right. Pastrami on rye or corned beef on rye?
Pastrami on rye for me.
I'm like you. I like the pastrami. What about you, Jeff?
Pastrami.
Maury New York and everything bagel or Derek Jeter? Can't be both.
All right.
No wussing out here. This is hard hitting.
Gotta
show.
Go for the bagel.
Gotta get the everything bagel.
I'm a Mets fan. Everything bagel.
Gotta go for the bagel.
I gotta go Derek Jeter.
Okay.
Now in the morning after he gets the 3,000 hits, I'll go in for the everything bagel. But
there you go.
But you know, Jeter's got the titles. You gotta go with Jeter. All right. What's worse, a bagel on the Continental breakfast at the Ramada, or the new pat down techniques by the TSA at airports?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
That is tough. I think I have to go with the pat down on this one.
What do you think, Jeff?
Bagel at the Ramada.
Really? Yeah. Here's the thing. The bagel at the Ramada, you get to keep your diaper on. That is the difference.
Yeah, I guess they were looking. Yeah, they found a dirty bomb, all right.
But I'll tell you what. If we ever want to stop with the water torture, we should serve them bagels at the Ramada.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They would definitely. Oh, that is. Ugh,
awful.
All right. Finally. When will you be unveiling the Davin's Den sandwich? I know this is high on your to-do list.
We'll work on that. Well, absolutely.
Because I have a thought of what it should be.
You gotta give me an idea.
I have a thought. First of all, it has to be a sandwich filled with a lot of bologna, because that's what this show is.
Got the bologna.
All right, now to represent my Jewish heritage, a little corned beef. I mean, a little pastrami. And to represent Joe, because he's Scottish. And I don't think you're putting haggis on a bagel. I don't even think you, Jeff, could make that taste.
Nobody can.
I think we scooch it a little bit and make it corned beef.
Corned beef, sure.
For the Irish, because you can't put booze on a bagel.
Irish
either.
And Scottish.
I think it has to be bologna with pastrami and corned beef. I like that sandwich.
Sounds good.
You like
Sounds
that?
Sounds good. Absolutely.
Can we throw Swiss on that?
Swiss and Russian.
What are we? The United Nations? We're just throwing
no, we're hungry.
I can't have Swiss. It's pastrami Jews. We can't mix the milk and the meat. That's why we don't go to strip clubs.
What?
You never see a Jew in a strip club. You can't mix the milk and the meat.
I don't know if that's true, but
the girls have to.
I just love letting you hang.
Yeah, I was hanging.
All right. That is a funny joke.
Whatever. I don't need it now. I hunger. Son will call in 25 seconds to give his impetus. So now I'm hungry. So if somebody wants to go down to Goldberg's, where can they find you?
69 Brookside Avenue, right in the center of Chester, next to the McDonald's, in between the McDonald's and the diner.
And do you guys, if somebody wants you to cater or take out, you do that too?
I can do catering for any occasion. We do a lot of catering. I have a chef right on premises.
Nice.
People are happy.
And I've been in your dining room. It's a pretty big dining room.
Yeah, we hold about 50 seats altogether.
And what are the hours again? I know you guys are open very early.
5 in the morning to 6 at night, Monday through Friday.
5 in the morning to 6 at night.
Mm. Sunday we close early, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
We got to take care of the help a little bit.
Well, Jeff, you've accomplished a couple things. You've informed me about bagels. Now I know what a water bagel is. And you've made me exceedingly hungry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. I thank you, gentlemen.
And you are a great guy, and you have a great business. And folks, please go on down and support him, please.
Check out Goldberg's. We got to take a break. We got commercial. You're listening to Davin's Den. Call us. Come on back. My name is Davin Rosenblatt of the Davin and Cisco Show.
Besides being the host of a radio show, I am a professional stand-up comedian and owner of the ever-growing entertainment company Sidesplitting Productions. As a performer, I have appeared on Comedy Central and performed several tours overseas for our troops. As a company, for over a decade, Sidesplitting Productions has been providing the very best in live stand-up comedy, murder mystery shows, DJs, and celebrity impersonators across the nation. Our entertainers are perfect for restaurants, special family events, and making that corporate event or party a stunning success. For a free consultation and quote, call me anytime at 845-986-7806. That's 845-986-7806. Or check us out on the web at sidesplittingproductions.com. That's SIDESPLITTING. PRODUCTIONS.com. SidesplittingProductions.com.
I can't wait for nighttime. I am going to GW's, the local place for the nightlife. GW's has so much to do. I think I'll start off with a GW's American burger. Or maybe I'll get some of their famous wings. Maybe I should just wait till I get there and look at their menu full of all the great food. I can't wait to have one of those tasty beverages, and I'm definitely going to watch the game there. And then maybe I'll go play some pool. Then I'm going to dance all night long to one of their awesome DJs or great rock bands. So much to do, and it's all in Chester, New York at the ShopRite Center. If you want to live the nightlife, you should definitely come to GW's and check them out at GW's Tavern on Facebook. Or just give them a call at 845-469-FOOD. GW's Nightlife is the right life.
Goldberg's Famous Bagels offers over four generations of traditional water bagels and deli items in the kosher style. Fresh bagels are made on premises. At Goldberg's Famous Bagels, you can eat in their dining room or have them cater your next event. Goldberg's is open every day, so visit them at 69 Brookside Avenue in Chester, New York, or call them at 845-469-8505. Goldberg's Famous Bagels, a taste of the city brought to Orange County.
Hi, this is Paul Nebraski, host of Morning Energy with Nebraski. Tune into my show every Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. on WTVQ to learn about home energy efficiency, home improvements, and much more.
Hi, this is Dr. Nick Belasco, host of the St. Anthony Community Hospital Roundtable, heard every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 a.m. Tune in to hear about the latest in health news from me and my guests here on WTVQ.
WTVQ.
A rather chilly night in store for the area. Mainly clear skies and light winds allow temperatures to fall down to near 50. For Friday, we've got a partly to mostly sunny day coming up. The pleasant weather continues, highs topping out near 80, and getting warmer and more humid for the weekend. Mostly sunny, about 85 on Saturday. Sunday, partly sunny, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs 85 to 90. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ken Elliott.
WTBQ. And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den on WTBQ. If you want to call in, the number is 845-651-1110. It's been an eventful show so far. We had Jeff Sisti from Goldberg's in studio with us. He told us a lot about bagels and made us very hungry. He's got a great place. My mom called in and...
yell at me.
Well, not really to yell at me. She wouldn't yell at you, but yell at me. But then I got impatient because she didn't know that you can't, I guess, talk to the computer. Because she was on the line and I yelled at poor Frank. Because, you know, Frank usually drops the phone calls, but this was not Frank's fault. My mom was probably yelling at the computer. Why is my son ignoring me? He's not talking to me.
Mr. Packard.
Then my dad probably said, well, why don't you pick up the phone? So the two of them worked that out, but they didn't realize that you can't listen to the radio show. And a lot of callers don't realize that. And normally I would love to entertain my mom on the phone because I think she makes some interesting radio so you people know where I come from and everything and understand why I am the way I am. But I had Jeff sitting here. And then we had Saad Sirwan, who we're going to put on in a couple seconds, call early. I told him to call at 7:30.
He's very punctual. You know
he's
him.
He's too punctual.
And he's very punctual.
But so anyway, the reason we're going to have Saad, we got a good show. The reason we're going to have Saad on, Saad is an old dear friend of mine. He is known as Pakistan's number one comic, probably because the others are dead. But besides that, he's a very good friend of mine. I've known him a very long time.
We've known him a long time.
We have. We've both known him. I probably know him because of you, actually.
Yeah, you do.
He's not, yeah. Not only is he a comedian, he's a physicist. He's a scientist, and I believe he originally comes from Pakistan. So I thought, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Joe Padula on. He gave the soldiers perspective of what the war in Afghanistan was like. And he said, you know, the Afghanistan people like us. But in the weeks and the months that have been coming, the people in Pakistan and the United States, the tensions have been rising. So I wanted to get the perspective of maybe somebody from Pakistan or with Pakistani roots who lives here but has family there to kind of give us that perspective. I thought that'd be an interesting thing to do. I mean, Joe Curry, we specialize in jackassery, but, you know, once in a while we try to do some interesting and informative things, I think.
Yeah, once in a blue moon, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Let it slide in.
So it's a blue moon. Saad, are you there?
I'm here, Davin. How are you doing?
We are very good. Welcome to the show, Saad. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you guys again.
Hey, Saad, how you doing?
Hey, Joe, how's life?
Good, good.
So Saad, I just want to set a little bit of your background up, then we'll get into the questions and everything. Now, I know you grew up in Pakistan. How old were you when you moved to the United States?
I moved to Canada first. I was about 18, and I moved to the U.S. when I was 21.
Okay, and how old are you now?
I'm in my 30s, let's see.
So about what are you, a chick that I'm trying to pick up in a bar? Well, Saad's got a great butt for a man of his age.
He's a pilf.
A pack of that. Hey, very funny. All right, so about half your life has been in Pakistan and half of your life approximately has been in the West. Is that accurate?
Yeah, probably exactly.
Most likely, kind of, sort of.
If you do the math, you'll be able to figure it out. That's a problem for you to solve.
Physicist.
Really? He's vague on these questions. How's he going to be when I ask him the tough stuff? What made you decide to leave Pakistan and come to the West?
Well, I came for college, so I came for college first, and then I just stayed here.
Okay. Do you still have family in Pakistan?
Yes, I still have family back there. My parents have a little law firm. That's the family business.
A law firm? Well, you're not the people we see that we're usually dropping bombs on.
Yeah,
you're the people who you see in those black coats taking part in those protests, which happened a few years back.
He's the protesting class. They know how to make the signs and the effigies of our presidents.
That's a great business, though. If you're in the effigy business, that's a growing business.
Effigies are us.
Listen to Saad. 30 seconds on the air, he's pumping the family business. Already. Is there a website for the effigy business?
I don't know about the effigy business, but I think if someone wants to make it big, if they can do an IPO on an effigy business, that'll be doing good.
Saad's now giving financial advice.
Can use old George Bush effigies half off.
Every ex-president must go. No, seriously. They must go. So, Saad, how often do you go back and visit your family?
About once a year.
Okay, so you're there quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you've been in the States for a while. Are you a citizen yet?
No, actually, my application is in the mail, so if the FBI is out there listening to this,
I'm a very
good guy. Please approve my application.
Well, you know what? You should have just snuck across like a Mexican and worked the fields. I know you're a physicist, but you're never going to become a citizen that way, silly. are you seriously working on your citizenship?
Yes, my application's in the mail. I should be getting my fingerprinting and all that.
Well, you're going to get your fingerprinting, I'm sure of that. I don't think you got to worry about that, Saad. They're tracking you as this call's going. Let me ask you this.
The one thing I can't do is buy, you know, big SUVs on eBay. That's out since recently.
Look at Saad doing a little shtick.
You can't rent a truck or buy fertilizer either, I guess.
Right.
And nobody's letting them park in front of buildings either.
Take flying lessons. Lash, man!
I have a handicap plate. No. You park in that parking lot 3 miles down.
All the way to back.
You're going to walk to the concert. Since 9/11, and we've been friends since 9/11. We actually spoke on 9/11. Now that I remember, we were talking on the phone when it all was going down. Have you found it harder to practice your Muslim faith in the United States?
Initially for a little while, but that's in New York it's quite different from in the Midwest, or I would say the rest of America. New York's been pretty well in understanding; they know what they're doing.
So you have traveled and you have noticed a difference.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, have you noticed a difference by the way people are treating you since the tensions between Pakistan and the United States have been on the rise?
No, not really. People pretty much understand, maybe because my accent's become so American now.
Really? Really? Yes, compared to a cab driver, completely. Compared to Joe Curry, not so much.
We thought you were from the South.
Yeah, we didn't know. Is that an Alabama or a Mississippi accent you got there, Saad?
It's Southern.
It's Southern.
I speak English. I at least don't say axe. like you guys do.
Really? He's mocking us.
I never said it. Okay, he always mocks us because we're stupid. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant man.
All right, honey. He called us both stupid.
Okay, right.
And side note, you weren't the honey I was talking about.
All right. Now, learn to speak English if you're living in this country.
So, Saad, you're a physicist. I'm correct with that.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So how come so many scientists like yourself receive their higher education degrees in the West and then go back to their native countries, but you've decided to raise your family in the U.S.? What was that like?
Actually, I would say it's the other way around. I think most people who get their higher education in the West stay here. Only a small minority go back.
Really? Because, you know, when you turn on the press, you always hear, like, one of the political things, the football's back and forth. They say that we need to be keeping people like yourself, the physicists, the doctors, you're the businessmen, but as soon as they get their degree, we send them back because of our immigration policies. But you're saying...
It is a little bit of a problem staying in this country, so you have to jump through bell hoops and fill out all this paperwork to stay here, but it's possible.
Okay. Mm. Let me ask you this. Were you happy when Bin Laden was killed?
Yep, definitely.
Yep. How would that work in the effigy business?
I don't know. Probably Bin Laden effigies weren't selling much in Pakistan anyway.
How did you feel? You know, you're obviously a citizen of Pakistan. You're working to become a citizen of the United States. How did you feel... when you found out that Bin Laden had been hiding in Pakistan for years in a major city, I mean, how'd that feel for you?
That felt strange because I thought he would be hiding in Pakistan, but not in the area where he would be.
It was a military area.
Like, I thought
area.
He was somewhere in the caves in this sort of Fatah area where it's sort of uncontrolled Wild West badlands where nobody's controlled anything for like millions of years.
Right.
He was actually living in a city, but then I looked around. You know, if your neighbor was living, if you looked like any serial killer in the U.S. and you go to television and you watch what happens, the first thing they do is interview the neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And the neighbors always say, "Hey, he looks like a normal guy to us."
Really? A six foot seven guy from Saudi Arabia looked normal.
We thought he liked 9 foot walls and barbed wire. How did we know he was there?
He was always quiet. He always threw the ball back when it went over the barbed wire fence.
No, they gave new balls.
They gave new balls. Here, this one will explode in a minute. Yeah. Go down the block.
Yeah, take this down your block.
Were you a little embarrassed?
Yeah, probably.
Probably? I mean, so let me, as a native Pakistani, what do you feel about the government that's running that country? I mean, so obviously somebody was in cahoots. Somebody knew he was there. Well, how does that make you feel?
I think probably somebody did know, but I don't think it wasn't a mass conspiracy. You can't keep secrets in this country. You can't keep secrets in Pakistan. If it becomes general knowledge, people know.
So you think it was like just a couple low... Because it was a military town that he was living in. A lot of military...
He was living... They call that military town the sort of exaggeration. I live in an area called Defense Phase 5. It's supposed to be a military town as well. But everybody lives in a military town because that's where you're safe. Because
okay.
You live anywhere else, you're going to get killed.
Really? The
so
Bin Laden neighborhood's the safe neighborhood?
Everybody who can afford it lives in a military town.
All right. So now do you think that a lot of their intelligence knew that he was there, or just a couple low-level people?
No, probably someone high up in intelligence knew he was there, but not, like, he probably didn't share it with his people up.
How did your friends and family who still live in Pakistan, how did they react when this news came out?
Oh, they were all happy that he was dead.
Really?
That we'd closed a chapter, a very bad chapter in the life of Muslim, American, and West relations.
How did they feel about the fact that the United States went in under the cover of darkness, did not tell the Pakistani government what was going on, and violated your airspace? How did your family feel about that?
I think my family was okay with that. I think a lot of people had mixed feelings about that because mm-hmm. they'd wanted to gain their independence and do that, but they pretty much knew that the U.S. was going to come in and do that anyway. But it was a very nice, surgical, clean strike, so kudos to Obama for doing it that way.
So it wasn't really much of a surprise, you know, so it wasn't much of a surprise that we came in there?
Yeah, because he'd pretty much said in all his statements, and everyone knew that if he found Bin Laden, he was going to go and get him, so he did what he had to do.
Well, let me ask you, Saad, because the picture you're painting, to me, seems much different than, again, what our media gives us.
It depends which part of Pakistan you live in. Pakistan is essentially two countries. Like, there are two Americas, you know, mm-hmm. red states, blue states. There are two Pakistans. There's Pakistan in the cities, which is very urban and very modernized, and it's
educated.
It's developing. There's a middle class growing in the cities. And then there's rural Pakistan. Rural Pakistan is still backwards. It doesn't have the reach of the media as much. And so that part is more susceptible to being brainwashed and that sort of stuff.
Interesting. See, we're learning things.
Yes, we actually are. It's fascinating.
So, in your opinion, does the average Pakistani like the United States, or is this still kind of like what you said, depends where you're from?
I think it depends where you're from.
What's your take on the United States' continued drone attacks in Pakistan? A lot of civilians have died in these. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's probably not going to win them any points. It's just going to be a big recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda. If you want to gain popular Pakistani support, don't go in and kill innocent civilians.
Well, no, I mean, that's not the intention, but I guess the other alternative...
But that's collateral damage, and that's what's going to cause problems.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, I think the United States government has lost some faith in what the Pakistani government is capable of doing or willing to do. So I guess they look at it as like, we either do these drone attacks, or I guess what you're saying is you think it'd be preferred more of these surgical precision strikes like they did with Bin Laden. Would that be better?
Probably, because there'd be a lot less collateral damage in that way. But again, you know, you have to look at it from two points of view, you know. You got to do what's right for the U.S. has to do what's right for the U.S. and Pakistan has to do what's right for Pakistan.
Do you think this is all going to boil up to a head, or do you think cooler heads will prevail?
Definitely, cooler heads will prevail. The U.S. will do what is right for itself, and Pakistan will do what is right for itself. Like, Pakistan can't say, "Oh, we allowed the U.S. to come in. Go ahead, kill all our people whenever you want. We have no control over our country." And the U.S. can't let go on what's... So the U.S. is doing what it needs to do, and Pakistan is doing what it needs to do to survive. So they can't... It's like sort of plausible deniability. Even if they knew that they were involved, they wouldn't
accept. So you think maybe the Pakistani government is saying one thing, condemning the United States? Because I think they just came out, either it was today or yesterday, where Pakistan kicked us out of a base that we were operating in Pakistan. The Pakistani government just kicked our military out, but then a military spokesman said, "No, we're still there, we're still operating." So I'm this just happened. I'm guessing Pakistan's feeling a lot of the government's feeling a lot of pressure. They can't be in a good situation.
Right. So they're doing what they need to do. They're telling their people that, you know, we're not in cahoots with the U.S. when they know that you can't bite the hand that feeds it. You know, Pakistan won't survive if it doesn't. No one in Pakistan pays taxes or anything, so Pakistan's completely dependent on foreign aid.
Wow, that's a great place for the GOP.
Yeah.
Do you know? Have you known or lost anybody who was victimized by one of these drone strikes?
Well, we've not by the drone strikes, but there are a lot of terrorist bombings here and there, and we've had, like, my brother's office, our law firm, is right next to a KFC, and that's been bombed like 6 times because apparently these terrorist thinks that Colonel Sanders is a military target.
Well, now, in defense of the terrorist, the KFC, it does give you the runs. It's not really a bad thing. If you're going to bomb a KFC.
Maybe not enough extra crispy.
We ran out. This is not, you call this extra crispy?
You call this potato salad? Where's my gravy?
Good terrorism.
But in the cities, what they're bombing is the McDonald's, the KFC, the Burger Kings, and stuff
Anything that resembles the West are targets.
Right.
Okay.
The Subway.
All right. Do you know anybody who's actually later went on to become a terrorist?
No.
No? Oh, that would have been an interesting bit if you did.
Okay, yes.
Of course.
No, I appreciate the honesty, but that would have been interesting. Really? Do they make the cupcake recipe? Do many of your friends and family want to join you here in the United States? Are they happy there?
No, everybody who's there is happy there, and everyone who... Again, it's urban America, so it's urban Pakistan, I would say, is different.
Would you consider moving back to Pakistan?
Probably not, because I've lived here too long and I've settled in.
I gotcha. Now, this is a hard question, but that's what we ask here on the show. And it's actually not even going to be a funny, stupid one. If the wars come to war, and let me preface this, because a lot of my family is very loyal to Israel and the United States, so it's always like, you know, if they're not on the same side, what would happen? If the United States and Pakistan do go to war or do have a military conflict, and it's not that far-fetched, the way things have heated up in the past several months, where's your allegiance at this point in your life?
That's a very tough question. I don't think the U.S. will go to war with Pakistan.
That really didn't answer the question. Well, I mean, listen, it's not an easy question. I know. I mean, it's a horrible position to be in. But, I mean, the one hand, you grew up in Pakistan. Your family's there. On the other hand, you live in the United States. You want to be a citizen of the United States. You're raising your family. I know you have a young family. I mean, there's got to be people who have the same thoughts, these same thoughts in their head. You know, this dual allegiance. I mean, what happens? You just go to Canada and call it a day?
That probably sounds like a good idea.
That's not a bad idea.
That's what I mean. I'm here to help.
Now, your wife is Pakistani, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good? What? You know, what? What? He couldn't marry somebody that wasn't Pakistani?
You keep it in the family.
Right. Stupid.
That was deserved.
All right. Yeah. Now, Asad, as everybody knows, you're also a comic as well.
Yeah.
A very good one. What made you decide to try comedy? Because I know you're very intelligent and written published papers, and anybody that tries comedy is pretty much a dope. So
I would say comedians are reasonably smart, except for Davin.
All right.
Really? Except for me? I'm the one who booked you, dummy.
Watch me. Oh, I slid away from that one.
Listen, he likes you. He's known you longer, but he barely does comedy. He doesn't know what's good for his career. You've never helped anybody's career, Joe.
What was the driving force that made you want to try comedy?
Well, I always did comedy in high school, and when I came here, I learned the art of stand-up, and then I first did improv, then I started doing stand-up, and it was just a fun, nice release sort of hobby.
Mm. Good. Are you going to be performing? What are you going to be performing again, or...?
I perform every now and then. These days I'm working the mosque scenes a lot, so I do a lot of...
Working the mosque scenes?
Yeah, just don't bomb there. It'll be all over the news. Oh, come on. That was funny.
Hey, there's a temple circuit. There's a mosque circuit.
Yeah, you got banned from my kosher restaurant.
Did I really get banned from the kosher restaurant?
Don't worry. It was a Jewish food. Tex-Mex place. The future
and
was not bright.
And by the way, that Goldberg's place, is that kosher?
No, it's kosher style. You're fine. We can get the Packy burger. This is true, and then we got to let Saad go because we got to wrap this show up. But this is true. I used to book a glot for Pip listening at home. Glot kosher restaurant in Teaneck, New Jersey called, I don't remember what it was called. Glot, but I booked Saad there. I booked a bunch of comics. I booked Joe. I booked Saad. And Saad did a great job, and the place was very enthusiastic about the comics, and they wanted the headshots, and everybody signed the pictures, and Joe did. And Saad signed his headshot in, I guess, Pakistani language.
Yeah, in Arabic.
And yeah, they were not pleased about that.
So, but I always sign my picture in Arabic.
It was funny. I always sign. That's why you don't get asked back, stupid. We think it's a terror note, and the FBI is there. Well, Saad, thank you for calling in.
Thanks so much, pal.
I think you've enlightened. I hope you've enlightened a lot of our audience. You've answered very truthfully. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope to talk to you again. Take care, Saad. All the best to the family.
Take care. Good holiday, pal. We'll
Thank
talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
That was good.
It was good. Saad Sawan, a very funny guy, very informative guy, and we learned a lot that what goes on there. That a lot of things that the news doesn't necessarily tell you.
Shocking that our news doesn't. You know, that's what we've learned so much from Joe Padula and Saad Sawan. Like, that's what I love having these type of guests on, because we don't get the story.
No.
We don't get the story, so I hope
just
the people
get the fluff.
I need fluff too. But anyway, we got to get out of here in a couple seconds. Joe, where are you
going
to be?
I am going to be in let's try that again. Take two. I will be at
Oh my God!
Take three. I will be at McGuire's Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday out in Bohemia, New York. You can look it up on the web. McGuire's Comedy Club, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, 8 and 10:30. Come on out if you're on the island. We're gonna have a good time.
I'm glad you got that out.
Sure. That was horrible. I know that.
You stink. All right. I'd like to give special...
Number five, I stink.
I said you stink. I didn't say you're stupid.
Okay.
Now you're stupid for interrupting me. I'm trying to do our little thank yous to the people who pay for this show.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I got to
find a
decent
host.
Make the announcement.
Oh, my God. Special thanks to GW's in Chester, New York. They've been continuing to sponsor us. We thank them. Big baseball game this weekend. They got like 8 televisions there. They're going to have the Yankee Met game on. So if you want to stay out of the heat and get your drink on, definitely go down to GW's in Chester, New York. Also, they always got bands, good music, and everything. Special thanks, Goldberg's Family's Bagels. This is his first week sponsoring. Jeff was in here early. I think we learned a lot about bagels. Great guy. You know, he's just like so many of the people here. He's a hardworking guy trying to make a business. He's got a great product. So we encourage you to go to Chester, New York, and check out his product.
Please stop by, tell him you said hello, and support him because he's a very hardworking guy with a great restaurant.
Tell him you heard his interview on Davin's Den. Tell him that you liked him on Davin's Den. And this weekend, I will be at Foxwoods Resort and Casino and Mashantucket, Kentucky.
Mashantucket.
Mashantucket.
In Kentucky?
No, Connecticut. Did I say Kentucky?
You can say Kentucky, stupid.
I am stupid.
All right.
Kentucky. Well, you know what? I had a
place. People driving 1,000 miles the wrong way.
Nobody's driving
see
to
you.
See me.
I know, but hypothetically.
I was trying to.
If you were.
No. Frank said, get out of here.
All right.
Listen, everybody. Oh, stop it, Frank.
Have a happy and safe 4th of July.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next week.
If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell no one. Either way, keep on listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye. Davin Dent.
Community radio station since 1969.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis. President Obama asking Democrats to open up their wallets tonight and taking the opportunity to address budget talks.
I'm not going to reduce our deficit by eliminating medical research.
The president saying he won't sacrifice infrastructure projects either. Republicans are angry.